Hi, and welcome to the CX4CA podcast. We're a podcast that interviews people with meaningful things to say around the role of customer experience in providing organizations competitive advantage. And we're really proud today to be speaking with Amy Gath, the Global VP of Marketing at Formica Group. She was just so interesting to speak to, so insightful. We talked a lot about her personal story of starting in CPG, classical marketing, and moving into digital transformation with that mindset, and how she had this great opportunity at Formica Group that were at that moment of realization, that says the first 100 years of our brand story has been around competitive advantage in traditional manufacturing process. And now increasingly our competitive advantage is also to be found in customer experience, in having a direct and meaningful customer relationship. But how do you do that? And I think she spoke so intelligently about the challenges of dealing with the organization and people internally, and how you get those guys aligned to this new challenge, how you deal with the complexity of the customer group that she has. There's 30 different countries with so many different cultures and languages, 400,000 unique products, and numerous different types of customer across the end user, the tradesman, the commercial, the business, and you know, just trying to break down those challenges and deal with that moment of realization, I just think was interesting. And how as a marketer, as a trained marketer, you have to make increasingly big technology decisions, and just how you go about that and how you conceptualize it. It was just a fascinating conversation, and I enjoyed it so much. So I really hope that you get a chance to listen to the podcast and you take as much away from it as I did. It was fantastic. So here's Amy. So Amy, welcome. It's fantastic to have you. Thank you very much for agreeing to take time out of your schedule to speak to us today. So maybe first, let's start with an introduction to yourself. Why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and your career?
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here with you. I am a classically trained CPG marketer. I got my MBA. I did my MBA internship at Walt Disney World with some of the best marketers in the world. And really thought I was going to go spend the rest of my life driving big name FMCG brands. I went to Mars and worked on M&M's and Snickers. I went to the lawn and garden business and worked with Scott's Miracle-Gro. And then back in 2013, a recruiter called me and said, I know this is a little different, but I have this really interesting opportunity for you. And I said, oh, well, okay, I'll listen. It's Formica. And I said, Formica? Oh my gosh, my grandma had a pink Formica kitchen, like that Formica? And she said, yeah, that Formica. And I was intrigued. And sitting down and talking to the president of the company, he said, you know, Formica has this incredible century-long journey. But we know that taking us into the next century is about marketing. It's about sales. It's about transforming our business. So are you game for the opportunity to come build?
Which is fantastic. So let me ask you first of all about the previous century of Formica. So as someone growing up in Britain, I wasn't so aware of the Formica brand. I think it's really a household name. And the first time I actually was aware of how popular the Formica brand was in America was I was reading a great article by Malcolm Gladwell, if you know Malcolm mm-hmm. Gladwell, who wrote The Tipping Point famously. And his most famous article when he was writing for The New Yorker, he talks about Steve Jobs and the idea of what innovation is. And he said, apparently Steve Jobs, when he came back from seeing the Xerox labs and for the first time ever seeing a mouse, he came back, and I'm reading the quote now from the article. He says, Steve Jobs says, our mouse needs to be manufacturable for less than $15. It needs to not fail for a couple of years. I want to be able to use it on Formica and my blue jeans. And I know what blue jeans are, but Formica was that's what a strong traditional brand it was and still is. And that sort of century-long history. So talk to us a little bit about what made it such a great brand.
Absolutely. I love the story of Formica. So back in 1913, Formica was started by two Westinghouse engineers. And they were working on electrical componentry, and they were looking for a substitution for mica in electrical componentry. And their supervisor said, there is no solution for mica. We can't find it, move on. And they kind of said, well, why not? And so they became one of the original startups. They left and kind of took that curiosity to create a substitution for mica. And first it was about electrical componentry, but you know, they kept asking, why not? Why not? And that curiosity created the Formica that so many of us know, you know, as the Formica of the 50s and 60s and 70s. The new, you know, miracle material for kitchens and spaces. And, you know, there Formica also went through a really tough period where the company was sold off and went through private equity, was purchased by a company called Fletcher Building in 2008, who really invested in the company and kind of believed in what Formica had been and could be. And that really put us on the trajectory that we are today. We're now owned by a European company called Broadview, who also have this amazing kind of focus on innovation and kind of leading and finding the future. And so there still is this culture of why not?
Which is fantastic. I think that there's something so fascinating about this culmination of both those stories, both your personal narrative coming from sort of, you know, classical marketing, CPG, MBA, and the career you probably thought you were going to have and the value you thought you were going to add to businesses. And then also the Formica story, a century of finding competitive advantage in manufacturing and production line and the sort of theory of constraints around workstations. And this kind of idea that actually the marketer's role was changing at the same time the competitive advantage was moving away from production for manufacturers. I just wonder if you can talk to us about how you conceive of that challenge and what it was like to be in that moment and how you move forward with a challenge like that.
So I think throughout my career as a classical kind of CPG marketer, one thing that I found that I truly loved was this sense of building. I liked new brands. I liked acquisitions. I liked being able to build and rebuild. And so coming, and I will say so often when you work in kind of a traditional marketing structure, there is a way. And so building is can be limited. So coming to Formica with free rein was pretty exciting. And understanding that, look, I get to help build the future for this brand. And like any classically trained marketer, that first step was really understanding the consumer and bringing that understanding of the consumer to the organization with the idea that, look, the better we understand our consumers, the greater advantage that we will have to move our brand into the next century of existence. And so, you know, the other part that was really challenging is in manufacturing, in building products, there's not a lot of data. It's not like you get a Nielsen or an IRI report from your stores every day. And so kind of the first part of that process was wiping out the urban legends of here's who our consumer is and bringing some data and some common understanding to the organization. I loved my first month. I spent a ton of time talking to everybody in the organization, down to the folks on our manufacturing line, about, you know, what do we stand for and who are we? And I got a different answer from everyone. And so establishing that common understanding was truly step number one in this journey. And then getting everybody to hold hands on, here's who we're talking to, and here's the brand that we want to bring to them and make part of their lives.
Yeah. And I imagine it's common for many organizations, and it's just such a complex challenge to face, to try and have a direct relationship with customer if you've never done it. And especially, I mean, thinking about Formica, I mean, you're across 30 countries, I think. You know, you have many hundreds of thousands of customers. You have, I think, 400,000 unique products. And so that's just such a complex challenge. I mean, people talk about personalization, but how do you do that? And indeed, you've got end users in there. You've got the tradesmen. You've got business and commercial. You've got such a complex picture of who your customers are and what they want and what they need and numerous different cultures and languages. I mean, just how do you go about conceptualizing the idea of what data do you need to collect and who are these people and you know where do you even start with something like that?
It truly starts with one kind of mobilizing your internal organization and creating a structure, however loose or not, but to get that information and the agreement that we want to better understand our commercial customers. So part of it was just getting everybody to hold hands.
And I think that's going to resonate a lot with the people listening around stepping into an organization, meeting the challenge of numerous people with different visions for the organization, you know, seated in the past and seated in their perception of the future. And I suppose before you get to a position of trying to understand the customers or thinking about technology, it feels to me like one of those first challenges that you would have had to face was actually getting that alignment internally and actually winning the minds of the people actually inside the organization. And I wonder if you can just talk a little bit about the types of things you did to help bring about that alignment around strategy.
Absolutely. That alignment process started for us actually with looking at the brand, because the conversation we had was, if there are so many different understandings and perceptions of what Formica is in the organization, we can never march forward together. And so we actually did a brand positioning exercise together and looked at how are we going to position the brand for the future. And that included everyone. We had people from manufacturing, our president sat on that team, our finance guy sat on that team. But coming out of that exercise, we were all able to kind of hold hands and walk forward together about, here's who we are as Formica and here's who we want to be. The second piece of that, really for the marketing organization, was to stop talking about marketing and technology in the language of marketing and technology, because that wasn't our organizational understanding. It was to speak in the language of finance and manufacturing so that people got an understanding of what we were trying to do and what we were trying to accomplish. And the example I use for this is, if people would talk about CRM and CMS and Sitecore platform and you know, our president, who's a manufacturing guy, would, huh? And so we started looking at digital metrics just like we looked at our plant metrics. Every month, I created templates that used the same format as our manufacturing templates. We'd go through it in the same format, and suddenly the organization was like, oh, this is what you're doing. Now I get it. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. And so kind of that translation then started to create within our organization champions for digital transformation, for marketing, the idea of better understanding the consumer.
And so if I've understood you right, you actually changed the nature of the language that your internal marketing team was using to shift that more towards the kind of manufacturing terms and challenges and problem solving that everyone in the organization would be used to. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And to this day, this is 6 years later, we use that same format. We sit down with our president every month and walk through that same deck talking about digital. And our president is excited about digital. For the first time, it's not, investment sink. It is, I see what this is accomplishing for the business. This is an asset. It's like one of those machines we put on the floor of our plant. This is an asset that's helping our business grow.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? That kind of, we don't often always empathize so much with the CEO and the board and people who've built their entire career in one industry and are now finding that all of the things they learned that got them to their position are now different. You know, the world has changed and competitive advantage has changed. And I remember speaking to one manufacturer who who really began to, the only way we could really think about customer experience was it was in a similar way to the theory of constraints. You know, the very thing that, you know, that any improvement at any bottle, at anywhere other than the bottleneck is an illusion. And then when you conceive that the bottleneck is at the customer, that's actually, they now have the power to decide who they want, when they want, and you need to provide for them, you know, the correct experience across time, across channel, across device. As soon as they conceive of it in a language they understand, it relates it to them, and it helps them understand the business challenge ahead. So there's absolutely one part in terms of that alignment, which is focusing on language and terminology that the business is used to. But do you just then immediately jump into, you know, big decisions and buying technology, or do you take small iterative agile steps? What was your approach?
Absolutely. I always advocate kind of the small bites. And you know, I laugh because I've been sitting in conferences and heard people say, you know, go big, do things that make a big impact. And sometimes it is hard for an organization that might not be used to digital investment or marketing investment. No way in heck are you going to get big investment. And so pick some small but meaningful areas in which you can invest and show how it makes a difference. And for us at Formica, we did that on the residential side of our business. Residential is 30% of our business, so lower risk. And we implemented some things. We implemented Coveo, so AI-powered search on our site, which was kind of, it was an investment, but it was a smaller investment, and we showed the business, look, this is what it can do, and really we built champions and we built enthusiasm along the way to go make those bigger investments later on. So, it, you know, eat the elephant one bite at a time.
Absolutely, and there's a great Eric Ries quote from the Lean Startup where he says that the currency of early projects is learning. It's not doing, it's not producing things, it's learning, and a big part of it is changing the organization to be a dynamic, learning sort of organization.
I think that's right, and I think, you know, never underestimate. I one thing I really love about our leadership is they are smart people and they love to learn, and so it is exciting too for them to kind of see that process for the organization and to learn something new about how we grow in a new dynamic for making us bigger and better.
And so you've touched on technology there, which I think is another really interesting challenge. As well as getting internal alignment, you've also now got a large marketing budget to spend on technology. And you're going to want to, I assume, apply the same principles of making that technology work to solve business challenges. But fundamentally, it's still code. It's still bits and bytes and infrastructure and things which I'm assuming weren't part of your MBA. So how do you deal with decision making like that, and how do you make responsible technology choices for taking on this sort of challenge?
So I think there are two parts of this that have been effective for me. The first is I'm constantly learning. I've taken classes on kind of better understanding the IT world. I read a lot. And then the second piece is really building alliances with my IT, with my technology partners. They are the experts in this, and they're a bunch of really smart people. And so in building that alliance too, I've been in organizations where the CIO and the CMO are constantly at odds. There's this, you know, you're taking from my budget. No, you're taking from my budget. But the relationship that we've really built is if you, CIO, are successful with technology, that helps me then implement other technology projects, and vice versa. As we are successful with digital, it shows the organization what technology can do to move us forward. And so really, I mean, my technology partner, my IT partner and I sit down once a week. We're constantly talking, and we're constantly looking for ways to work together. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough how important building that alliance is, personally, but also for, you know, moving the business forward. You can't do it without partners.
Yeah, 100%. I think that actually, in many ways, that story of breaking down what in some organizations is a silo really between technology and marketing speaks actually to the Formica story of moving from production silos to actually having a customer-centric sort of view. And right. I think that will resonate. And I mean, in your opinion, for people who are thinking about moving into marketing, you know, would you advise getting more technology background in terms of their education?
I think it is. I think it is always important, and I think it will become increasingly important. I think the most important quality for a marketer is curiosity and kind of a willingness to constantly learn. And that's in part why I got into marketing, because I knew no day would be the same and I would constantly be learning and trying new things. And if you're not good at that, you're not going to be good as a marketer.
Yeah. So one of the things that we are really interested in at Horizontal, and part of the reason for this podcast, is to try and understand how digital transformation changes when you think about it in different cultural contexts and different countries and different geographies, and what that means. Because fundamentally, if you're trying to orchestrate a direct relationship with customer, those customers are different. And so I wonder, to your theme about learning, how you approached the challenge of thinking about all of the 30 different countries you're across and all of the products, and how do you bring that out into a digital experience? I mean, how did you even just go about understanding who these customers were?
For us, it started with the dirty G word, and that is creating a governance structure, which really isn't, you know, rules and regulations, but for us was a way of creating some structure around how people around the globe worked together and how we kind of brought together sometimes conflicting consumer needs into a group. And so as part of this process, and, you know, I think one of the things we loved about Horizontal as a partner is Horizontal helped us put everybody in a room and talk about, you know, what are your consumer needs and what are your consumer needs, and let's work together to find those places where they overlap. And then we're going to talk about those areas where they're in conflict, and we'll find a way to figure it out. But that kind of constant conversation and that constant discussion is really critical. I from my Asian counterparts, I've learned a ton about WeChat, and understanding that, you know, using WeChat is very different than the way we're going to use the website and other tools in the United States, in North America.
So let me just ask you off the record, is there something that it'd be great to actually dig into an insight around WeChat and talk about the difference, only if you're comfortable that it's something you actually know about? But I mean,
I very superficially, I know about it. I mean, I think our Asian partners felt very strongly that any web presence we had, that they have in the Asian market, has to then carry over to WeChat. So we're making sure that there's kind of a consistent, you know, 180, not 360, I guess,
I'm assuming. Okay, and what about any sort of particular customer insight that you could share publicly that you found customers, for example, wanted to search using colors or wanted to search, you know, is there anything like that we could bring out?
I think we can, yeah.
So let me ask you a question, have a go, and then we can either decide to cut it or something like
that. Yeah.
So throughout all of that research and that sort of investigation into different customers and different geographies and cultures and languages, what were some of the sort of the key insights that you were learning about?
You know, I think one of the things, the base learnings we had was that across cultures, across the globe, our architect and designer customers had many similarities, but the way they went through their process was different. And so for our Asian architects and designers, they were searching by vertical. And so whether they worked in hospitality or healthcare, or that was the way they thought about the process first. In North America, our designer customers were thinking color and pattern first. And so at a global site, we had to find a way to kind of meet both needs and how to address both key sets of consumers. And that was a good and righteous challenge.
Fantastic. And so you talked a bit about actually choosing an AI search capability, and you're going through this process of learning. You know, what are the other sort of technology choices that you made along the way, and what sort of brought you to those decisions?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we selected Sitecore as our CMS platform. And what was really exciting to us and really necessary for us was that it gave us a lot of capabilities to better understand our consumers and a lot of flexibility because we are global and because our customers are different. One brand, but different customers. And so kind of finding technology that allows to do that is really important. I think the other piece, and this is one of my great learnings from my technology partners, is not wanting to create kind of spaghetti tech stack or issues where we have too much customization. And so, you know, what we loved about Sitecore too was there were a lot of out-of-the-box connections. It makes it easy. We're not getting too complicated. We're big as Formica, but we're not so big that we want custom everything.
And one of the other issues that no doubt you all had to conceptualize is not just actually taking your traditional products and mediating a new sort of relationship, but actually bringing digital into the products themselves. And is that something that you're doing at Formica? And talk to us a bit about the kind of the Internet of Things and the digitization of products themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the cool things is there are surfaces everywhere, and Formica surfaces everywhere. So as we have really innovated, we've realized, you know, Formica can be a conduit for the Internet of Things. And we just launched a product called Intentec. It is a wireless charging surface. And so, you know, you sit down at a table, you put your phone, and it charges your phone wirelessly, which has been so exciting and so fun. And as a person who travels a lot, I can't tell you how many times I'm in an airport like, oh my gosh, where's our plug? So excited that we have a surface that you can just lay your phone on and call it a day.
And do you think that, So Formica is a surface. I mean, it is an original sort of, you know, touch surface and potentially an interface. And I think there's actually something really nice about what you're saying in terms of your role was initially to bring Formica into the internet, but now you're bringing the internet into Formica. And I wonder, you know, is that you think the future of the Formica product range? That actually it's increasingly going to be an interface, not just a surface for resting things on?
I think the possibilities are absolutely there. And I think, too, to our founders, when we talk about that, we say, why not?
Yeah, why not? That's really nice. I really like that. Thinking about other things. So wanted to maybe finish in a minute or two with maybe some advice that you have for people or your sort of, you know, one pearl of wisdom or whatever it is you to take some time to sort of have a think about. But is there anything else before we get there that you want to touch on? Anything else that you think would be useful to talk about or to share in terms of your experience or learnings?
I do think the one piece, and particularly with people in emerging markets, I think is having confidence to, you know, share their learnings and insights as they have partners in more developed markets. I think for Formica North America, some of the learnings that our Asian team has brought as their market is different than ours has been very rich, and it has made kind of the overall much better, but never being afraid to jump in.
So you've talked a lot about the role of people as part of this transformation and helping them understand and conceive of the challenge and bringing them along in terms of what that solution looks like. But we've also talked about the challenges of being a globally distributed organization as well. And how do you engender learning from the different parts of the organization, and not just having all of the direction come from head office and one particular culture or whatever it might be? How do you bring together all the different sort of parts of your organization?
I think one of the key pieces for really being successful is making sure that everyone involved is not afraid to champion their ideas and speak up for their consumers, because good ideas come from everywhere. I think about our Asian team throughout the process, sometimes didn't want to kind of jump in and speak, but when they did, the changes that they drove in our global site really made it better. And I think back to kind of understanding that their consumers search by vertical. And interestingly, we in North America, as we've implemented some of this kind of search by vertical piece, our North American consumers have said, oh, that really helps me a lot. And had our Asian team not championed that idea, our customers too would not have benefited. So jump in, there is value everywhere, and not being afraid.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So on this process of learning that you are going through, and for Micah are going through, you must have drawn inspiration from competitors maybe, but actually from all different types of industries and different companies facing similar but different challenges. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about some of the things that you saw and are seeing that inspire you, that you just think are just, you know, interesting and relevant and are going to be future superstars.
Absolutely. I love what some of the healthcare industry has done in terms of personalization. And was recently talking to a friend who works in marketing in the healthcare space, and, you know, saying, I love your website. When I go to your site, I get fed content that is really relevant for me, and I think this is awesome. And she said, yeah, but Amy, you know, have you noticed? We understand those three areas that need to be personalized. That we learned the lesson of over-personalization will kill it, will kill the experience for you. And I think that was, to me, that was really exciting. And it was really kind of, oh yeah, you're right. You know, you see those new shiny objects, and sometimes the tendency is like, okay, layer it on, put it all in there. And, you know, her lesson is, no, find the places where it really matters. And implement there. So I'm excited about that, but I think I'm approaching it with kind of a new lens that where is personalization important and where is it just become a hindrance?
Absolutely. And I think healthcare actually is an interesting analogy for Micah because of the complexity of knowing who the customer is. You know, is the customer in a healthcare setting, is it the patient? Is it the healthcare practitioner? Is it the medical company, you know, who are all of these right. different players? And you have a similar sort of challenge in the complexity of end users and tradespeople. I mean,
oh, that's absolutely right. I mean, we have architects and designers, we have homeowners, we have fabricators, we have distributors, and the list goes on and on. And so being able to create content and create relevance for all those different people every time they come to formica.com is incredibly important. But I go back to being able to create kind of the right level of personalization for them.
Yeah, the right level of personalization. But you also talked about content there as well, which I think is interesting. I mean, it feels like marketers now are more a newsroom, like a sort of a press newsroom. And I mean, how do you go about just having to deal with the sort of the amount of content that you've got to create and for all of these different audiences? I mean, how do you productionize something like that?
Absolutely. I mean, so we have a fantastic team of associates and of contractors who help us. But I think what has been really interesting to me is user-generated content is some of the best content there is. And so relying on our customers to help tell their stories and to show how they're using our product, because their experiences are the most real. And their experiences are really interesting, sometimes more interesting than what we could tell people. And so being able to motivate and mobilize our customers for content is fantastic and really helps kind of continually put out new things.
Yeah, I always think it's interesting when you look back at the sort of the vision videos of organizations from sort of 20, 30 years ago, and so many of what they saw, so much of what they saw was true in the sense of things like, you know, mobile devices you know, screens everywhere and surfaces. But one of the things that, you know, if you look back at, I don't know, a Nokia vision video or a Microsoft vision video or any organization, one thing I've never seen is they all understood that we would have mobile devices and digital devices that allow those brands to send us communication. But no one really saw just the huge demand there would be for user-generated content, that users also wanted to create and curate content and mix that and do that for themselves, for free, and influence the conversation. And I wonder to what extent you are looking at user-generated content in Formica, because it is, as we started the conversation, a much-loved product. And I wonder how you tap into that.
Absolutely. User-generated content for us is absolutely critical. And, you know, I think in part speaks to kind of the design and rebuild and remodel world we live in. But it's also, that is a creative outlet. And so people do have these amazing projects that they put their heart and soul into, and they're proud of them. And for us, we're proud of them too. They do amazing work with our product. And so it is so fun to be able to share and show how people are using our products. And it is the most authentic Formica there is. I mean, truly, Formica and our brand story is in part about the people who use and work with our products.
Yeah. Well, as you said from the beginning, I mean, your grandmother had a Formica. There is an emotional right. connection to the product itself. And if you can make that relevant as a digital surface, as well as fulfill its traditional need, then it's an incredibly bright future. So to finish, I mean, one of the things that I'd love for you to share with the audience is really in terms of, you know, you've obviously been on this journey for a while now, and you've had a lot of success in the work you're doing, and there's still much to come. If you were to offer one piece of advice going forward, if you could only say one thing to those who are aspiring for a similar sort of career, and sort of sum up your experience, what would that piece of advice be?
On the transformation journey, my advice would be people first. Build the people structure within your organization that drives the transformation. You can throw technology, you can throw marketing lingo and ideas, but if you don't have the people structure right, you will fail. So people first, build that.
People first, that's awesome. Amy, that was ridiculously insightful. Thank you very much for doing this. It was great. Thanks
for having me.